Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Tesvav Amar Aleph. We are 7 lines from the top. The words of Alo Sandal Masumar. The Mishnah had told us that it's usher to send a sandal with spikes as a present on Yontif. So the Gemara says, what's wrong with the sandal with spikes? Sandal Masumar, my time Alo, what's the reason you can't send a sandal with spikes on Yontif? So it says the Gemara, Mishum Maisa Shahaya, because there was a thing that happened, which the Chazawar goes there not to wear these things on Shabbos Yomtiv. What happened? So Rashi tells us, or points us to the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos describes where there was a group of Yidden who were hiding from a persecution at the time, and what happened was is that there's two versions of the Gemara over there, but one version of the Gemara is that they thought they heard the enemies coming by, and they were very worried about it, and they ended up like killing each other with these spiked shoes. So in order to commemorate this terrible thing that happened, Chazal were goes there that you should not wear spiked sandals on Shabbos Yom Tov. So the Gemara is therefore saying it's usher to send them because you can't wear them. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye qualifies as a sander mesumar asr lenalo, that it's usher to wear them, like we just pointed out. That's the Gzeiras Chazal. However, they didn't go far to say that it's mukta. If something usually is usher to take and use on Shabbos and Antif, usually it's also mukta. However, Abaye says mutla talta, it's going to be mutter to move it. It's not going to be considered fundamentally mukta. Rashi says it qualifies as a kli, and therefore you can move it around without an issue. Now, I would have understood according to Rashi that lechora mid is not mukta at all. It's like a cup or a spoon where I could move it around for whatever reason that I want. It has nothing to do with any major tzorach. That's a shaila about moving a kelim in general for lola tzorach chal. I'm not getting into that right now. But etzem, I can move it around and it'll be like a cup or a spoon or anything like else in terms of the halachas of mukta. I can't send it as a gift, but I want to move it around my house as much as I want. However, the Shita Mekubetzes points out that that's not true. It's a kli, right? It's a kli. So it's not considered fundamentally like a vanim ve'etzim. It's not considered mukta machmas gufa. It's not a more severe type of mukta, like stones and things like that, and rocks and things like that that are totally mukta. You can never move them unless you designate it before Shabbos. However, there's still kli shemalafta l'isra. There's still being like something like a hammer, where it's usher to use it unless I have letzorach gufa letzorach makom, unless I need the place where it is, if it's on the table and I need the space on the table, or unless I need to use it, the sandal, to, let's say, do something that had their purpose, to open my bottle or something like that. That is something I could use it for, but other than that, it would be usher to move it. That's the opinion of the Shita Mekubetzes. Tarachit, if that's what Rashi meant also, but that's what the Shita Mekubetzes explained. Says the Gemara, Vaiter, Asana Meshemais Shayam. So the Gemara says, by a point, because qualifying is what you just said, it's usher to wear it because of the Ma'aseh Shehayah. But it's permitted to move it around because the Mishnah says you're not allowed to send it as a gift, implying that because if there's a chiddush, a bigger chiddush, that you can't even move it in your house, then the Mishnah is telling you away less of a chiddush. The Mishnah is telling you a bigger chiddush of hashal tuli usher, that it's usher to even move it. Then why would the Mishnah have to tell you mashal chavimai? That the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell you that it's usher to send such a gift. Clearly, the Mishnah is telling you that it's implying that the spiked sandals is fundamental. Permitted. Only sending them as a present is what's going to be usher. That's what the Mishnah is implying, but move them around your house is not going to be an issue. Again, we had the Shaila, the Shita Mekubetzes, that it might fundamentally be usher as well. It just means it's mutal if you have a tzorah for it, but tzorah kufa, tzorah makoma, use it for heder ribbers, or use it for something for the space. Now, the Gemara continues, you're not allowed to, send an unsewn shoe. So the Gemara says, this is pachet mukta, what are you going to do with this? Pshita, there's no purpose of it on yamtiv. So the Gemara says, know that the chiddush over here is that even though it's attached with small wooden pegs, you would have thought that there's some function to it, yet this is not enough of a function, you're not allowed to send it, it's not still considered not useful on Yom Tov. Now the Mishnah also told us Rabbi Yehuda Omer Aflo Min Alavan, that you also can't send a white shoe because it's not that you need a person to fix it, you need an uman, you need a craftsman to blacken it, because people never wore white shoes. So says the Gemara, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shachar, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permitted a black shoe to be sent. He permitted a black shoe. The Braisa speaks of a new shoe that's not fully wearable yet. We're going to see, because Machlok is about this. So a black shoe is permitted to send. What's the black shoe is the one everyone wears? No, clearly it's not finished yet. The Asr B'Lavaman, the Asr is a white shoe. The Neshit Tzarech Beit HaSagir, because you need type of dirt, which is able an agent that they used to use. That's what they used to blacken things. So that would put that's why it's Osir, because it still needs a Maisa to finish. It's not considered finished. Rabbi Yossi Oser B'Shachar. Rabbi Yossi says that it's Osir, even a black shoe. So obviously, what you just mentioned, what do you mean a black shoe is fully finished? It must be. No, we're talking about the one again. It's not fully finished black shoe. We still need to smooth it a little bit, and that's going to be the Isser. And the Gemara says, wait a second, little pligi, they're not even arguing. Because Mar Ki Osir, that each one is talking about their places where they lived and the Metzias of the shoe. Because the Asher Demar Bisra Latachas, in where Yehuda's place, that literally the flesh of the hide was facing inside the shoe. So therefore, you don't need to smooth it already. Blackened shoe, Rabbi Yehuda is therefore going to be Mekil. However, but Asre Demar, when it comes to Rabbi Yossi's place, Bisra Leil, that the leather is facing outward, and therefore you needed to smooth it in order to complete the shoe. and it was fundamentally lacking something, therefore it is going to be usher on Yontif. Now, the last part of the mission was that klal kol shenosen bel b'yontif, whatever can be used on Yontif is going to be permitted to be sent on Yontif as well. At this point, the Gemara is understanding that the Mishnah is saying that only things that could be used on Yontif are going to be allowed to be sent as well. So Gemara says Rav Sheshes sharlu l'rabanan, but the Gemara says that the Rav Sheshes practice seems to be against this, because sharlu l'rabanan l'shadrila tefillin b'yomatav, Rav Sheshes allowed a person to send tefillin to his friend on Yontif. So Amar le'abai, Abai said, what do you mean? V'anan kol shenosen bel yontif mishalchin, so that only what is allowed to be used on Yontif, you're allowed to send tefillin, are not worn on Yontif. As Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Erevin, which tells us that we yatsa Shabbos Yomtov because they're an os. We write it's a v'yala os aliyadcha. Tefillin is fundamentally an os, where you have a day that's already an os. You have two osos every day, right? We have the bris milah and the tefillin, and where you don't need the second os, because Shabbos and Yomtov are fundamentally an os, then you would not need to wear tefillin. Also, that's the whole shaila and yom of the yom of coming up of Chol HaMoed. Is Chol HaMoed also an os for this purpose? Is there a reason? Is there an iser? Do you not need to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? That's all shaila. It's machlokas rishonim. It's machlokas halacha lemaisa. Machlokas minhagim arayom. In different communities, practice different things. Different people, different minhagim about wearing tefillin and chol moed. But that's the drasha that you don't have to. You don't wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. For sure, everybody agrees to that. So the Gemara says. So why are you allowed to send it? So the Gemara says, halchi kamar. No, this is what the Mishnah really means. Kol shenu osin b'chol. Whatever is allowed to be used on a weekday, meaning something is ready to be used. It's a finished product. Then mishlichin osin b'yom Tov. You're allowed to send it on Yom Tov. So why are you allowed to send it on Yom Tov, even though it's really fundamentally not allowed to be worn? Because at the end of the day. Because you're sending them, a person is going to make him Simchas Yontif, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So apparently this is only true with things that are ready to be used, and therefore you would give a Simchas Yontif. Therefore it makes sense why before we saw in the Mishnah, which said the shoes that were not sewn yet, they're not finished, those you don't send because that's not going to be, and grains also we saw before are not allowed to be sent because those things are not finished. So we see the Gemara's conclusion that the Mishnah is still going to usher those spiked sandal. Why can't we assume that that's also a problem of sending mutter because of sending because a guy would want to wear during the week and make a Simchas Yontif. So Rashi points out that there's a fundamental difference when it comes to tefillin. If your guy gets confused, he sends tefillin and you accidentally wear tefillin on Yontif or Shabbos, and Ishkafelach is not so bad. You're not violating any din. However, when it comes to the sandals are going to think that you're allowed to wear them. That's Mamash Osir Midrabana. We never removed that. That's a big shayla. Rashi's assuming that there's no Isra whatsoever wearing Shabbos and Yontif wearing tefillin, just you don't need it. You're not that there's an Isra to. Many Rishonim disagree with that. That there really is Be'etzim a fundamental Isra with wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, but Rashi clearly says over here, very interestingly, that there would not be an Isra of wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Now the Gemara continues, and Gemara says, Amar Abaye, tefillin oy vasul yadin. So since we're discussing tefillin, let me just tell you something other things about tefillin. Maybe I'm going to tell you another halacha about them. Mayabah baderech tefillin barosho. If you were going on Erev Shabbos, and there was tefillin on your head, v'shakalav chava, the sun set on you, so now it's becoming Shabbos, so again, you're not supposed to wear tefillin. Maniachedu aleyam atchim agilaveh, so you could put your hand over the tefillin until you reach your house, because you should cover the tefillin, people not think that you're wearing them. However, you're not supposed to take them off, because then you're going to be carrying them, and carrying them is hotzah. So in a Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa, it's going to be an iser d'oraisa, and Rosh Hashanah d'rabanan, it's still going to be aser d'rabanan to carry. So therefore, wearing the tefillin is only an iser d'rabanan, and therefore, with tefillin, you don't want to leave them on the side because they're going to be getting ruined. Someone's going to steal them. They're going to get rid of them. So therefore, the rabbanan lifted the din derabanan for this purpose to save the tefillin. So hayayosha v'beis midrash tefillin brosh. You're sitting in the base midrash and you're learning tefillin. Rashi points out that base midrash is not like the local base midrash in like we have in the town. Rather, it was in a field, an open field that people are going to take the tefillin. So you're afraid the tefillin is going to come. V'kiddush alav hayom and Shabbos began. That's the whole shaila in the Rishonim. Why did you change the terminology? Why did we say the lashon shakalav chama, the sunset, and then the second one is kiddush alav yom? Tosfos therefore want to understand that there's two different chiddushim over here. The second one is that tefillin is loved on Shabbos is loved on tefillin as the second halacha. The first halacha was just talking about stam that to teach you walk on the derech. Okay, the other rishonim described differently. Rabban has a different answer to this, but that's a shaila. Why are we using different lashonos? But either way, that's what the gemara says over here that it became Shabbos. So what do you do? Manechad alevim, so you should allowed to put your cover your tefillin shal rosh. Don't let people see it. Cover tefillin shayad, and you walk to your house, and then you could take them off in the house. So says the gemara. Meisi Rav Huna Brei Ravika. Rav Huna Brei Ravika has a question from a brayso. The brayso tells us about baderech tefillin berosho. Someone was coming on the road on Shabbos and filling on his head, the kiddush alav yom, and now Shabbos is starting. What do you do? The lacha is maniach yado aleim. You should put your hand over the tefillah, not shebegil levis samach lachoma, until you reach the house closest to the city. So when you reach the house that's closest to the city walls, which is meaning the entrance to the city, then you put it there. Hayosh beis midrash similar lacha. You're sitting in the beis midrash. You're learning. Mekidush shel avayom and Shabbos began. Maniach yado aleim, not shebegil levis samach beis midrash. You put it to the house closest to the city's entrance. So we see over here that this is lachor against the bayah. Bayah says you're allowed to bring it all the way to your house. Now we're saying no. You entrance to the city wherever you live. Person lives in Yerushalayim, right? The entrance to Yerushalayim, the entrance to the little city, whatever it is. The first house that you put it in is one you should put it in. So the Gemara says that this is a chor against the Baye. So the Gemara says, no, lo kasha, this isn't a problem with the Baye, because the mitra, the case of the Brace, is referring to a case where the closest house, you know the guy, and therefore you could assume it's protected, the film will be fine there. So then you have a chiyav to bring it to your friend. However, hadlo mitra, let's say somewhere you don't know people, you have no idea this guy's going to ruin your tefillin, he's a goy, whatever it might be. So therefore, the Brace is telling you that you should bring it to the house. You're allowed to bring it to your own house. The chor, that's only when your own house is the only one that you know. If you know other people on the way, the Rishonim point out the Nechanami, you should bring it to the closest house where you know somebody who is able to watch it for you. So then you shouldn't bring it further to your house. That's what the Abaya would agree to that as well. So the Gemara says, Idilo Mintra. So if we're talking about Abaya, we're talking about a case where the area you don't know anyone is not protected there, leaving the tefillin there, my area Barosha. So why does it specifically say, okay, that the case of tefillin is on your head? I feel though, with a bigger chiddush, so Machtan Ba'arad, I mean, not even where you're wearing them, it's not like because I was already wearing them, I should continue wearing them. That's not even the case though. Even if you find the tefillin lying on the ground in this area where they're unprotected or afraid they're going to get ruined on Shabbos, there's a Mishnah that says Beferish, that's not. The Mishnah tells us in Erevin, the Mishnah tells us, Hamotze tefillin, if you find many different pairs of tefillin on Shabbos in a field, Machnis and Zuzug, you could bring them in, each one a pair at a time, you put on tefillin, you wear them as you would during the weekdays, because then it's a malbush and then you're not really wearing it. You have a mind not being able to the mitzvah tefillin, so then you go back, you keep wearing each one at a time, and that would be permitted. That's a much bigger chiddush. Here, Abaye is telling us a less of a chiddush where you're already wearing them. So therefore, in light of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, you're right, lokasha. So then, how are you going to explain the difference between Abaye and the Brayse? So we're going to say, ha, dimintra machmas geneva machmas kalve. The Brayse is talking about a case where the tefillin is the house close to the city. He's referring to the house that's protected both from people who might steal it and also from dogs or animals that are going to come and ruin the tefillin. Ha, dimintra machmas kalve, where the ruling of Abaye, which is telling you that it's mutter to take tefillin from one's home, is the case where the closest house is only protected by dogs. Lo mintra machmas geneva, you're not sure people might steal it because, and you would have thought that you have to still put it in the house because people might steal it. So what? As long as it's protected for animals, you don't afraid people are going to steal it. Mad the same because it wouldn't for a buy that tells you a lot to take it to your house. I would have thought you have to leave it in the first house because Rov List in Israel and Velom is Albu, because we're talking about a house which obviously is most of the area was Jewish, right? Everyone lived there was Jewish. There's no non-Jews living nearby, so the person's going to steal it. The people who are thieves in the area are going to be Jewish thieves. So if they're Jewish thieves, even them they're not going to come to ruin tefillin. Even they have the aim of tefillin that they're not going to come to steal and ruin them. So they would steal other things, they'll steal your money, but not going to bother coming to steal your tefillin. So therefore, I would have thought that Chiddush is without a buy that you have a chiyuv to put it in the house that's not protected by necessarily it's not locked, let's say it's an open door, people could just go in and out, and you would have a chiyuv to leave it there because no one's really going to come to steal the tefillin. So therefore kamashman a buy comes to tell you no, that's not the case, you're allowed to bring it to your house because you don't, maybe a guy will steal it or maybe a goy will steal it and it will get ruined. So therefore even in that case a buy is going to be meikil and teach you that you are allowed to take your tefillin all the way to your house. With that, we've just finished the first parak, Hajjan alach beitza, Hajjan alach beitza, Hajjan alach beitza. So now just before we start the second parak, it's important to discuss the din over here with regards to with Erev Tavshilin. So that because we're going to be discussing the first mission, the first davis, we're going to discuss Erev Tavshilin, it's important just to note what exactly is going on when it comes to the halachas of Erev Tavshilin, because the Gemara over here seems to understand that you already know certain machloksim that we mentioned earlier in the Gemara Masechim and other places. So when a person is when Friday is going to be Yontiv and Shabbos is Shabbos, right? So Friday is the first day of Yontiv and then you have Shabbos, so then really it's going to be usher to cook from one day to the other. The Mishnah tells you that there's a din derabanan of Erev Tavshilin, which is going to allow you to prepare food from Yantiv into Shabbos. So what Erev Tavshilin is, it's you're setting aside prepared food before Yantiv, and you're setting it aside for Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to cook. So the Chora, the Din Derabanan of Erev Tavshilin is not going to override any Issur Deraisa. So therefore, Erev Tavshilin is assuming that Malacha, cooking from Yantiv to Shabbos, is not Asur on a Deraisa level. So the Gemara discusses the Machlokas between Rabba and Rav Chista, why there's no Issur Deraisa to cook from Yantiv into Shabbos. According to Rabba, on a level of Deraisa, any Malacha from Yantiv, you're allowed to have as much food as you want from Yamtiv, as long as the, because the Svara is telling you, because if guests will come, there's a Svara that assumes if guests might come, you're allowed to serve it to them. So therefore, according to Rabbah, we have this principle as known by the Rishonim and the Gemara, even is going to lose Lashon of Hoil. Now really, it's Hoil, that's a, just, Hoil is this Lashon of this, is a quote for the really the whole Lashon of Rabbah, which is teaching you that if guests might come, then therefore you're allowed to cook. So Midah, right, so you're really not allowed to cook from Yamtiv to Shabbos. However, if guests might come, that's a heter, no matter what. You don't, even if it's the middle of nowhere, you can assume guests might come. That's actually a shayla in the middle of nowhere. But lamaisa, we assume that way. Even in the middle of nowhere, you don't necessarily know about any guests might come. And guests are going to come, and therefore, on a deraisa level, you have to assume that it's going to be permitted only because guests might come. As the opinion of Rabbi Rav Chista learns that he doesn't hold to the concept of Hawil. Rav Chista just serves in general, mid-Araisa, we hold that Tzarchi Shabbos nasin b'yamtiv, that the need for Shabbos is allowed to be prepared on Yamtiv. So mid-Araisa, there's no need at all for the din. There's no, mid-Araisa, there's no issue whatsoever with cooking on Friday, on a Yamtiv, that's a Friday, into Shabbos, there's no issue whatsoever. And there's a big nafkamina between them, because at the end of the day, if a person, does the food have to be ready by the time Shkia of Friday kicks in? If we hold like Rav Chista, then there's no issue whatsoever mid Araisa of cooking from Friday to Yantiv. So therefore, they're abundant, and we're going to see why. The Gemara is going to discuss the reason why on right now. In the Salman, we're going to discuss the reason for why it is that they instituted Erev Tavshilin. But either way, we're going to assume that once you have an Erev Tavshilin, it's totally fine to cook throughout the day. You could cook an hour before Shabbos, as long as you had the Tanaim of whatever Chazara and Tanaim of Shehiyah, whatever. Now, it's Isra Shabbos right now. But Etzem, you're allowed to cook already an hour before Shabbos. However, if you're going to hold, like Rabbah, that it's all about the Orchim need to come, so your food needs to be ready by Yantiv. If your food is gonna, you put up a chalant at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Shabbos is at 5, and Shabbos is at 6 o'clock, whatever it is, 6:30. So then, be'etzem is if your chalant's not ready at all throughout the entire Yantiv, it's only been ready by that nighttime when it's gonna be 7-8 o'clock at nighttime. So then, according to Rabbi, you violated an issur, potentially an issur d'oraisa of cooking from Shabbos to Yantiv to Shabbos. So the Rishonim paskin like Rav Chista. However, we are machmir the chachila for the opinion of Rabbah. So that's it's important to note. When Yantiv falls out on a Friday, you have to be machmir to put up the food, that it should be ready, all the food, the chalant, whatever you're going to be making on Friday, to make sure that these things are going to be ready by the time Shabbos kicks in, Shkia kicks in, because therefore it was fundamentally ready on Yantiv. Okay, so now with that in mind, we are ready to start the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Yom Tov Shechal Yos Erev Shabbos. You have Yom Tov which falls on Friday. Lo Yivasha B'tchila Mi Yom Tov L'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to cook from Yom Tov, specifically for the purpose of cooking to Shabbos. Aval Mishvashel Yom Tov. But you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov. V'im Hosi, we're talking about what you didn't do in Erev Shabbos. It's just down the din. If you cook on Yom Tov and you have extras, so then Hosi L'Shabbos, you're allowed to eat them on Shabbos. We're talking about what we didn't do in Erev Shabbos. Just down, I'm allowed to cook. I'm making a good for the Friday morning meal of my Yom Tov meal. I make whatever it is. I make stuffed cabbage, so if I have extra stuffed cabbage, I'm allowed to eat that stuffed cabbage by nighttime. That is the din by Lachas of Friday, where I didn't do an Erev Tavshilin, and the Gemara is going to mention that a Ha'arama, normally Ha'arama is like a type of I've never had a good translation for a good Lashon of Ha'arama, is where you really know that you're cheating a little bit. You really know that you're like, oh, I'm really going to use it for Yantiv, but like you make like, you know that it normally people eat, let's say, 10 stuffed cabbages, and you're making 20. So that, the Gemara says, clearly you're not allowed to do that. That would be Usher. Ha'arama is going to be Usher in that circumstance. However, now the Mishnah tells us about the Chiddush of Erev Tavshilin. However, you can prepare a cooked dish before Yom Tov, and you could designate it as your Erev Tavshilin, and you can rely on it, and now you're allowed to cook all your needs on Shabbos, and therefore, once you designate it, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos with no restrictions whatsoever, again, provided according to Rabbah that the food is ready before Shkia, according to Rav Chista Mamish, no restrictions whatsoever. And then we say the Lashon of the we make the Baruch of Almitzas Erev, and we say the Lashon of Behad and Eruva, that through this Erev, I'm going to be printed for us to bake, to cook, and to make, to prepare whatever halachas I need to cook on Yantiv for the needs of Shabbos, and that's what you say, this Lashon, before, after making the Bracha, and then you set up the Erev for your Erev Tavshilin. Why do we, Agav, what's the Lashon of the Erev Tavshilin? Was it like Erev Chatziris, whatever? It's the Rambam writes out. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yantiv that the Erev of Erev is just a borrowed Lashon from Erev Chatziris, which is removing a din derabanan of transferring. So we're removing the din derabanan of cooking on Friday. Beishamai, Omrim Shnei Tavshil. Beishamai say that the Erev has to have two cooked dishes. Beisil Omrim Tavshil Achad. Beisil said only one cooked dish is enough. Veshavin Bidag of Eitz Shalav. But even Beishamai would agree that if you have a dish of a fish with egg on it, so normally maybe they would consider one dish, but still, said that Shnei Tavshil. According to Beishamai, this is also considered two foods, and therefore it's going to be okay, even according to Beishamai. Now, the Mishnah continues. Achlo Oshavda. What if you lost your Erev before you start preparing on Friday? We're talking about Friday right now. So then, So then, lo yivasha ala batzkila. You're not allowed to rely on it anymore. The erev anymore. You're not allowed to cook anymore. Once it's no longer effective, it's you lost it on Friday. You're therefore not allowed to cook anything anymore. Ve'im shir b'menu kol shu. But if any of it is around, the Gemara is going to mention this is tafka kazayas. That is going to be some halachos Shabbos. You're allowed to rely on it for cooking for Shabbos. So it says the Gemara now, mina hanemila. From where do I know that there's a concept of erev tavshilin? As I mentioned, as Rashi points out, erev tavshilin is only did rabbanon. So this must be only just machta. This is just a did rabbanon, just an allusion to the fact that the Torah mentions the concept of an erev. Amar Shmuel tells us that it comes from here. The Amar Kra zachor seim Shabbos lekadsha. The pasuk says, remember Shabbos and make it holy. Zachreu me'acher Shabbat lashkicha. This is telling you, remember the Shabbos even from another day, which is chashiv day, which is yantiv. That would therefore precede Shabbos, and you would may threaten to make Shabbos forgotten. Shabbat Lashkicho, it's going to come to make it forgotten because I'm going to be busy with yantar preparations all the time. So therefore, people might forget Shabbos. So therefore, by setting aside the Erev, you've designated it for Shabbos use, you already start recognizing, oh, wait, after maybe I'm going to take care of my needs for Shabbos, that's remembering to take care that you make sure you have enough food for Shabbos. So that's going to be my time. What's the reason the Chacham instituted the concept of Erev Tavshilin? We mentioned again, Erev Tavshilin is only a din to Rabbanan. So what's the reason they instituted this din? So that's what we're mentioning now. Why do we have the concept of Erev Tavshilin? This is something that people don't really know at all. Amar Rava. Rava says, "Kedei shiyiver mani yafel Shabbos mani yafel Yom Tov." So you remember, this is all a recognition to set aside for Shabbos and set aside for Yom Tov. So since you have to establish Erev Tavshilin, you're going to remember that Shabbos is coming also, and have to take care to make sure I have proper food and not have to have food for Shabbos as well. That's the whole din of Erev Tavshilin, according to Rava. Rav Ashi Amar, "Kedei shiyomru ein ofin li Yom Tov l'Shabbos." So Rav Ashi is going to say that people are going to say, "Oh, you're really not even allowed to cook." I think Rav Ashi's answer is people actually do think this way, that a lot of people think, oh, I'm not allowed to cook for Shabbos. Then they're going to remind themselves, aim themselves on the Shabbos. Really, even with the Reis, we pointed out, Lechora, you can cook from Friday to Shabbos. People are going to think they're not able to. So then they're going to say, Kal v'chomer, Yom Tov l'chol, without this din d'rabanan, you're not allowed to cook at all from Friday to Shabbos. So they're going to remind themselves, you're definitely not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. If you cook on a Yom Tov to Chol, that's an Isser d'Oraisa. So therefore, this is reminding you that the Erev Tavshilin was established to remember the Kedusha of Yom Tov, not that the Kedusha of Yom Tov is an afkamina. That according to Rava, it's all about Kedusha Shabbos. According to Rav Ashi, it's all about Kedusha Yom Tov. So therefore, there would be a nafkamina between the two of them. Is Erev Tavshilin, whether Erev has to be, whether you can do an Erev, let's say a day or two before Yom Tov. So according to Rava, the Erev is established Erev Yom Tov and not earlier, because only when the Erev is ensuring that the person remember to leave enough for Shabbos. But according to Rav Ashi, if you do the Erev way before Shabbos, at any point prior to Yom Tov, you don't necessarily do it the day before, because Lechora is just a reminder to about Yom Tov, and then you remember that Yom Tov is Kadosh. So that could be done 3-4 days before you do the Erev Tavshilin. That's enough nafkamina between the two explanations. Okay? Very interesting thing. So now the Gemara says, so now we learn in the Mishnah, and we're going to Lechora bring a raya for Rav Ashi and a shayla against Rava. The Mishnah tells us, Osa Tavshilim Erev Yom Tov. A person is allowed to prepare a cooked dish prior to Yom Tov by designating the Erev Tavshilin and relying on it for Shabbos. The Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Ashi. Now, according to Rav Ashi, understand it. Why? B'damar Kadesh Yomar Inal Fim Yom Tov Shabbos. The whole reason that Chazal instituted this din is that you shouldn't bake for Yom Tov for Shabbos unless you make the preparations early, and then therefore you're going to learn that you can't do it for a weekday also, and that would be fine that only the day before. Hainim De'Erev Yom Tov In and Be Yom Tov Lo. That's why it makes sense to assume that only prior to Yom Tov can you make this establishment, because Shabbos preparation is therefore begun before Yom Tov, and that's the whole purpose. You're allowed to continue him through Yom Tov. However, the Yom Tov Lo, if you establish them on Yom Tov itself, that's not enough. The Erev is not going to be valid. El or Rava, but according to Rava, who says the whole purpose is to remind people on Yom Tov to set aside food for Shabbos, so then what's the difference? If he does it before the first Suda, my Erev Yom Tov, why would it matter that you do it? You have to do it way before Yom Tov. Let him do it, or the day before Yom Tov, rather. Afilu b'Yom Tov Nami, let him establish it right before the meal, the Yom Tov meal. If you do it even before any point before the Yom Tov meal, that should be mutter according to Rava. And the Gemara answer is right. Really, on a level of the Chazal should have said that halacha, that you should have done it before, that you should have been allowed to do it even before the Yom Tov meal, not necessarily before Yom Tov even begins. However, we're afraid Alexera Shema Yipashea. If a person is going to be negligent and forget to make an Erev in the fact that he's getting ready for Yom Tov, the Chazal therefore established that the Yom Tov should be done Erev Yom Tov. We're afraid you're going to start being already getting preparations for the big Simchas Yom Tov, big meal. So therefore Chazal said that you should do it already, the Rabbanan or Masakin, that you should do it already the day before Yom Tov. So now the Gemara says, another point. Gemara says, "Matana Maisi Lamacha." So Gemara just pointed out, Rashi says, the style of the Gemara is that when we started off with a discussion with an Amora who quotes a pasuk, now we're going to discuss that the Tana actually quoted the concept, an allusion to Erev Tavshilin from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, "Eis Asher Ta'ofu Efu Veis Asher Tavashilu Bashilu." This pasuk is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Yidden to get ready for the first Shabbos. He says that baking and cooking are Asher on Shabbos, so therefore take care, the Pashup Shabbos that take care of them before Shabbos and Yom Tov begin. Really, just Shabbos, actually. Sorry, not Yom Tov, before Shabbos. And Gemara says, "Mikan Amar Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi Eliezer says, "Says Allah." Eliezer. Ain open ella alafoy. You're only allowed to bake on Yantav except for the things that are already baked food prior to Yantav. Ain mevashin ella ala mevushal. And you're only allowed to not cook on Yantav for the Shabbos except the cooked dish. What in the world is he learning from the drasha? Lachora, according to Rashi, this is how we understand it. With the lashon of eis asher to'yifu is that which you have baked. Meaning, if you've already baked something for Shabbos prior to today. Prior to Friday, then afil. That's his lashon. That's the illusion. Then you're allowed to bake for Shabbos, and then eis asher tevashelu, that which you have cooked. Meaning, if you've already cooked something prior to yantiv, then tevashelu. Then we're talking about you could get ready for it on Shabbos, and therefore that is the allusion to a erev tashilin. So mekan sam chachamim the erev tashilin Torah, and therefore chachamim made this allusion. Again, it's only din derabanan to have an erev tashilin on. Yamta that falls out on Erev Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, Meiser Rabbi Eliezer. Once a Meiser with Rabbi Eliezer, Shaya Yoshev Adorish Kolam Kula Bilchas Yamtiv. He was sitting and he was learning the halachas of Yamtiv the entire day of Yamtiv. So the Gemara says, Yasa Bas Kasher Shona. The first time people left, the first group of Talmidim left. Amar Lala Bali Patisin. These people have large barrels, meaning that they're very into the Gashmias. They have large barrels of wine that they prepared for the Yamtiv, and they're leaving the Olam Haba. And going to have their wine. This is talking about Yantiv. I'm going to ask in a moment. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah. Also, we'll get to that in a moment. But Kachnia, then there was a second group left. He was also upset at them also. The Pasadena is like a bigger barrel. The Chavios is a smaller barrel. They had smaller barrels, meaning that they just have less wine to drink. That's why they left later. But he was still upset they left early from the shir. Kachlishi is the third group left. Amar Lala Bali Chadin. These are owners of smaller jugs. Kachravi is the fourth group left. Amar Lala Bali Laginin. These are the owners of small flasks. Kas Chamishis, Amar Lala Bali Kosas. These don't have mamish cups. They don't have anything to drink. Again, he was criticizing everybody to leave, and he was assuming that the reason people left earlier is because they had more to drink and more to take care of, and drinking and getting ready for the Yantiv hour, and on the Yantiv itself, and having a bigger Suda. The other people were having smaller Sudas. The sixth group began to leave. Amar Halalu Bale Me'ira. These people are Bale Me'ira, it was upset that they're going to be they're literally desolate. The base Medrash is empty now. Because they left. So Nasan Eidav Matamidim, he was looking at them, there's a certain pachad of certain Rebbeim, he had this pachad on them. Ha'ischilu panem ishtanin, they began to be pale, they were pachad, that he was upset with them. They were misunderstanding Rabbi Lezer was upset. They thought that maybe he was criticizing the last group for staying so late and not taking care of the simchas yantav of the meals. So they were upset, maybe he was upset with them for staying. That's why they were upset. They were afraid. So Amar Lahan, so he says, Banai lolachem ani oimer. Now I'm not upset at you, don't worry. I'm not giving you musr. I'm very upset at those who left, because they leave the Chai Olam, eternal life of Torah, which is mentioned. They're taking care of Chai Shah, which is the Gashmias. Why not? Not that they literally died. Patira of Adam, sometimes Chai Shah is when a person dies. Here, he says they left. Literally, that's what the Patira is. The Patira is the Neshama is leaving this world. Okay? So they left the Shir. So what happened? So then he told them, the Pasuk in Nehemiah, which says, actually referring to Rosh Hashanah. This is why we learn, actually, you're not allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. Lichu echum hashmanim v'shasum amtagim. You should go eat, have sweet things, have v'shachum manos la'in al-acholoi, and you should send portions of food to those who are unprepared. The Gemara's going to ask what that means actually later. We'll get to that. Kikado shayom la'adonina, because today is very holy for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, "V'al tatzuki yedvas Hashem v'zuchem," and not only that, you shouldn't be sad, rather you should be happy, because today Hashem is going to take care of you, basically. So Amar Maris, the Gemara says, "Manichin chay olam voskim chay shah," that he's upset at them, that they're taking out the gashmias, they're not doing the ruchnias, they're not learning in Torah. So the Gemara says, "What is it? Ha'simchas yozom mitzvah, simchas yantav is a mitzvah, we learn v'smachta v'chagecha." The Gemara Masachim learns out that that's when time of Mikdash Kayam is through basar karbanos shlamim, and nowadays the Chori can have wine, maybe meat, shayla, and the Rishonim, and shayla Rishonim also that Bismarck says deraisa, but certainly a very big mitzvah, either mitzvah derabanan, but according to I think Rambam, mitzvah deraisa, even Bismarck says. So why was Rabbi Lazar so upset with those who had the yantav meals? They're doing a mitzvah as well. So the Gemara points out, Rabbi Lazar, at time now, Rabbi Lazar was following his own shita that held, Amar Simchas Yantav Rishus, that Simchas Yantav is fundamentally only optional, since therefore there's no obligation to eat any yantav. Rabbi Lazar was upset that those who left to go eat the meals. So the Gemara says, the sign of a learner, Rabbi Lazar, Omer, in la adam yantav, ella ocha vashosa o yosha vashona. You can pick. You eat and drink, or you're allowed to learn. According to Rabbi Lazar, the obligation of Simchas Yantav is not necessarily by eating or drinking. If a person wants, he can learn Torah all day. And when a person is not learning anymore, then l'chori you would still have a chiyuv of food and drink, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. But he holds you could choose your obligation by the simcha of yantiv, by learning Torah. That's the biggest simcha. So therefore, why was he criticizing them? He's being moda that eating and drinking is a valid way, but no, he was upset that they left the shir. Since they already started learning Torah, they shouldn't stop. They should continue learning Torah. That's why he was upset. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chalke. Rabbi Yeshua says, split it up. Chetzi la Hashem, half to Hashem, meaning through Torah study. And davening mechetzi lachem, and half of it should be used for eating and drinking, and that's how we paskin. That's how Rambam paskin. Soloveitchik has a little chiddush about that, because the Rambam talks about the Seder Hayom of Shabbos, and he's very makbid. He says that first you daven Marev, then you go eat. Then Shabbos day, you daven, and then you eat. And in between, then you go down Musaf, and then you go, and then specifically the Rambam is very makbid that you first daven Mincha, and then you have Shal Shittis. So Alpisod, Alpiarizal, there's a very beginning that you're supposed to daven Mincha first. But Soloveitchik explained the whole shtickle over there, that Soloveitchik had Richos about this, that the Rambam is fundamentally holding, he's very mesudar. Because you have to, he's saying that the davening is a matir to have Simcha to eat on Shabbos. I think that's one of his things that he was saying. Also, maybe he says you should daven early as well, is that because of the day, he was very makbid about the Chalkei. That's what Soloveitchik's whole interpretation of the Rambam is. Okay, either way, that's what we see over here, that there's a concept that you have half for you and half for Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Bekra Chardar, so they both start with the two psukim. One says, this passage in reference to Shvi Shal Pesach says, it should be for Hashem. This the whole Yom Tov should be for Hashem, implying that it should be only for Ruchnias. Yet another pasuk says, Chasam Vechomer, Ateras Tia Lachem. Another pasuk says it should be for you. So which is it? Haketzah, so which is it? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, Savar, Rabbi Lezer holds, O Kul Hashem, Kul Hachem, you pick. It's either for Kul Hashem, Kul Hashem, Ateras Tia Lachem, Chasam Machlokas. So you have to pick which pasuk it is. Rabbi Shua, Savar, Chalkeu, Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Lachem. Rabbi Shua says you divide half of it to half of it to Hashem and half of it to yourself. Lot of Shtekel Torah, why they're Otzi Yisrael Machlokas, what they hold in our context, so would it be Megalodis Machlokas, but we hold. Now the Gemara just goes back, wait a second, my Le'e Nachalo, the Pasuk says, Le'e Nachalo, those who are unprepared, says the Gemara Amar of Chista, L'mishalo Enyech Eruv of Tavshilin. Someone who didn't establish an Eruv of Tavshilin, that's the person who's not prepared, that's what Rabbi Yehuda was telling them, to go give food to that person, so you're able to do Eruv of Tavshilin, so you can cook from Friday to Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ika da'arme, mishalo yalo laniach Eruv of Tavshilin. Anyone who was unable to prepare an Eruv of Tavshilin prior to Yom Tiv, aval mishalo laniach Eruv of Tavshilin velo enyech. But that's only reference to someone who didn't take care of it. Someone who had the chance to take care of it. Someone didn't have the money to take care of Eruv Tavshilin, but someone who had the money and just was lazy and didn't do it, poshea, the person is just negligent. I have no chiyuv. Nechemiah wouldn't be telling me that I have any chiyuv to take care of that person. There shouldn't point out, but at the end of the day, there's still a mitzvah to help someone, even if he is negligent, to help him out. So we shouldn't point out that it wouldn't have been what Nechemiah tells you, the mitzvah to go help such a person. Yes, you want to do it, go help him, yes. But to go, Nechemiah is going to go specifically go out of your way and go help such a person is poshea. Lav dafka, are we so running to help people who are poshea? Gemara says, "My ki chedvas Hashem us." What does it mean? The joy of Hashem is protecting you. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Elazar Bar Shimon." He tells you, "Amar Lam Kach Baruch Hu Yisrael." Kach Baruch Hu tells Yisrael, "Banai Lavo Alei VeKitcha Kedushas Yom." You should borrow money on my account, and therefore, and I'm going to pay back on Yipurei. I'm going to pay back your loans. If a person does not have sufficient money for Shabbos Yom Tov, you could borrow money and trust in Hashem that He's going to pay you back. Because that's the lashon of here. The joy of Hashem is going to take care of you. That's the joy of Hashem that's taking care by Shabbos Yom Tov, and Hashem is going to take care of you. I just want to go vite. You should not go over, but it's Mamash Seinu. About your thing, your mezonos, we establish right now, Yom Kippur. So I just want to read this quickly. This Gemara. She's guy in the chasam. One property is the last. Yita ben eder. She's an eder tree, which is a very fancy tree, and your name will be on it. Rashi says, and therefore no one's going to come to steal your tree, and it'll be good. Shneimar Adibra Hashem. Hashem strong in the heavens is the name of Hashem. Inami Adra Bishmei. Adra is a name that's commonly understood. Kerem interest. People say, my Adra. What is Adra? Dikai ledari dari because it lasts many generations. Now the Gemara says, Tani Mehachi. Sada Sheishba Eder. It has an eder tree. Eden exiles from the. No one's going to steal. No one's going to take it. There's Rashi's two interpretations over here. One is that it's like a fence type of thing. It's going to prevent people coming. Rashi's other explanation is like a grass, which is going to have animals not come. Now this is the point I wanted to quote from here. Tana Dvarim Chita Achoy Dvarim Nei Chozai. Kol Mezonos Hashadam Katzuvim Lo. Right now, Rashi's son of Yom Kippurim. Right now, our Mezonos are being established. Davin Hashem. We should have a good year. Beruchlis Begashmias. Chutz Mosar Shabbos Yotzim Yoyim Tov. Those don't come Bechashbon. That normally you shouldn't buy very expensive things because your money is established. Someone's going to establish. You already make $1 million. So you're going to buy something for $3,000 that Hashem already established, you're only making that money. However, when it comes to Hotel Shabbos Yom Tov, that's not Baba Cheshbon. If you Hashem established $1 million, then you're going to spend $500,000 on food. Hashem will give you $1.5 million to take care of your Yom Tov and Shabbos expenses. Chudet Hotel is Yom Tov. Hotel's Benam Talmud Torah, also sending your son to Talmud Torah. Shim Pachas Polchitzin Lovi. Mostly Muslim, if you extend these, Hashem will give you more money. Baba Cheshbon. Maybe we'll start. I'll have a few more hours on that. Be'er Hashem. Everyone should have a Gemar Chesima Tova. Wonderful, wonderful, good Gemar Shir. Should have here Besoros Tova. Should have the good Besoros right now. All of Mizonos should be Berevach. Be'er Hashem. Shem Tzonav Tzavah. Be'er Bracha. Be'er Tzavah. Call 2.